old buildings, old automobiles, old clothing, old people. Sometimes our world is focused on what's old. Sometimes we're focused on what's new. Today is a day that people are focused on what's new. In fact, they've spent a lot of money on some new items. It's Easter. And as you look at the National Retail Foundation or Federation, they have estimated that people have spent about $24 billion getting ready for today. About $3.3 billion has been spent on candy. When it comes to gifts, about $3.8 billion. Food, $7.3 billion is the estimate. Consumers are also expected to spend about $4 billion on clothing, $1.8 billion on flowers, $1.7 billion on decorations, and $1.1 billion on greeting cards. Easter spending has hit a new record, and it is a lot of money. Easter, as we look at it, it is not a day that the Bible tells us to celebrate. As Christians, we remember Jesus' resurrection every first day of the week. That's why we're here. But since a lot of minds are focused on Jesus' resurrection, we want to think about that today. We also want to think about it from a very unique perspective. We want to think about the body of Jesus and the new body that he received. We're not exactly sure when it happened. But at some point, Jesus did receive a much different body. There were some major changes. We know that because of what Paul has to say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. There he said, "Who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself." Now, this verse, of course, does not use the word new. But if you look at this text, especially if you look at this verse in reverse, you find this. Jesus now has a body of glory. There was at some point a change in the Lord's form where he was given that body of glory. When he was on the cross, of course, that body was mangled. That body was not a body of glory. The beginning of the text says that we currently have a body which is in a state of humiliation. That is, it is weak. That is, we have a body which is mortal, subject to death. Paul, though, promised the Philippians that a time would come where the body that we currently have will undergo some kind of radical transformation. There is the promise of a new body. Now, I can't speak for others, but at least from my perspective, I find that to be a very intriguing promise. If God is going to give, as we think about the saved, those people a new body, what's that going to be like? If we look at our present form and we see that God did a very good job, what will a radical transformation be like? Well, we don't get a lot of information in the Philippian letter, but if we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's where our attention is going to be focused today, we get a lot of insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 37, Paul asks this question. He says, "What's your plant? Whether it's wheat or something else, is only a seed. We don't know the form that it's going to have when it matures." If we've ever planted a seed, we know that this statement is true. A seed does not resemble what grows from it. There is no way to look at a seed. And from that seed in the package or from that seed on the ground, we can say, all right, based on what we see, based on what we feel, we know that this is going to come from that because of how it appears. I don't know about you, but have you ever picked up an acorn? And have you ever asked yourself, does this acorn look like the oak tree that's going to come from it, assuming that it's planted and it matures? Well, of course it doesn't. We are not able to draw that conclusion. God says that principle, that basic truth, is also the case when it comes to the new body for his people. When Jesus received that new body, it was much different than the earthly body he had. God's going to give us, at the right time, a body which is drastically different from now the one that we possess. In addition to what we have from Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 37, we have John offering this in 1 John 3 and verse 2. He said, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be." That is, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we can't quite envision what that new body is going to be like. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. The resurrection of Christ is a thrilling truth, and we remember that every single Sunday. But so is the promise of a brand new body. The saved will receive that body. And some people have said, well, does that mean that we will not be able to recognize one another if we are both in heaven? Well, we have that question answered at the bottom of the slide. Change and identity are not incompatible terms. That is, the Bible promises a change, a radical change when it comes to the body, but it also teaches somehow that identification will also be possible in the afterlife. Just because there will be a change in our body, that does not mean that we will lose our identity or that we cannot be identified. Moving down a little bit more, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have this information in verse 38. But God, God gives it a body even as it pleased him, and to each seed a body of its own. This passage says that when it comes to the various bodies that we see on the earth, and this is still talking about the seeds that we see, the seeds that we plant in the garden, the seeds that end up being trees and shrubs, each body was designed by God. Each body from a seed was created by God. This statement ties in very well with what Paul said in the preceding verse, and it is in contrast to evolution. As you think about evolution, that system of thought says that we are here, our planet is here by chance, it's all random. Evolution says there was no grand designer. God says that's false. God says even to the smallest seeds that you see, it all goes back to me. When we see the shell of a seed, I don't know how long it's been since you picked up the shell of a seed. We're getting ready for some people to start thinking about gardening. You see some people working gardens, and you see them out working in fields. When you handle a seed next time, remember that you're looking at the handiwork of God. If you've ever learned anything about the root system when it comes to things like plants, you're seeing the power. You're seeing the wisdom of God. If you stop and take a little time to look at the branches and the limbs and even the bark on a tree, you're seeing the hand of God every single time. When we think about the hardiness of plants, if you're going to plant some shrubs, you may check out the hardiness. You want to make sure that it's not going to be too hot or too cold. We find that even the hardiness of plants and shrubs, those are not accidents of nature. They all go back to the hand of God. If God has used this degree of carefulness when it comes to things like seeds, the smallest of seeds, then what's going to be true when he deals with the jewel of his creation, mankind, at the end of time? People damage their bodies in so many ways. You find sometimes that people lose their limbs. Bad decisions can cause people to lose their organs, destroyed organs. They may invite terrible diseases when it comes to the bodies. We find that minds have often been damaged through illegal drugs and alcohol. But God says to his people, as we start looking at scripture, I'm going to, at the end of time, if you're one of my people, I'm going to do more than just restore your body. If God had promised the restoration of a body, you think, for example, of a young person coming into the world and the health is perfect, the doctor says you have a perfectly healthy baby, that's not God's promise. God says, I'm not going to give you just an entirely new body. You're not going to take the old model and God says, I'll let you trade it in for a new model. You're not going to take a model which is high mileage and trade it in for one with fewer miles. You're not going to give me a body which has some dents and dings and I'm going to give you a nice one in return. God's going to say you're not going to get one that you can, again, ruin with time and other things. God's promise is, I'm going to give you a new one. And it is going to be transformed in some ways that you can't begin to imagine. Did you see the story about a week ago about the kidney that was transplanted from a pig into a human being? Interesting technology. Doctors are looking at now, physicians are looking at, researchers are wondering how they can start putting animal organs in people. There's been for a long time a lot of research about using robotic parts. We have figured out some ways to do some interesting things to the human body. But God says, I want you to know that what I have planned for you goes far beyond what you're seeing in life. Now, someone might ask how God could accomplish such a thing. And if we stick with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 39 and 40, we get some insight about that as well. All flesh, God says, is not the same flesh. But there is one flesh of men, another of beasts, another of birds, and another of fishes. And there are bodies of heaven and bodies of earth. But the glory of one is different from that of the other. We've seen information about seeds in the preceding verses. God says, I've not made every seed the same. You can see my power, my handiwork, who I am because of the difference in seeds. But now God says, let's turn to flesh. Let's think about the various forms of flesh that we find on the planet. Well, when we start looking about and we see the various kinds of flesh that Paul mentions, we do see a lot of variation. These differences have also been carefully crafted by God. When you look at verse 40, Paul talks about the heavenly and the earthly bodies. When you see that word, which is translated celestial, that simply means heavenly. God has created the sun, the moon, the stars, every single planet. As we look at the word terrestrial, that describes the things of this earth. In addition to the bodies of animals and fish and birds, the word may also point to mountains and rivers. As we look at all that God has created, we see glory. We see splendor. We see the wonder of God. In about a week, and I'm sure that everybody is aware of this, there's going to be a solar eclipse. Depending on where you are, it's going to be perhaps a little darker than some other areas, but the sky will darken and it will look like it is dusk or dawn. There are warnings, all kinds of interesting warnings about possible flight interruptions and car wrecks. People are traveling, or at least heading to a narrow strip of land from Texas all the way to Maine. Whatever our thoughts about the eclipse, however much glory and splendor is attached to that particular day, the Bible is telling us that there is a far, far greater day coming. If we think an eclipse is something to be seen, we're going to be shocked at what happens when Jesus returns at the end of time. We have this promise of a great and glorious body. Now someone says, well, this helps me a little bit, but I still can't envision it. Isn't there something in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or somewhere else, which can kind of give me a visual? Yes. All we need to do is turn over to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 43. He says, then, when he returns and this magnificent change happens to the body, he says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Have you ever noticed that verse? Have you ever realized that if you're a Christian, that verse applies to you? This is God's promise for every single person who ends up in heaven. Can you imagine being a being, a creature which radiates light? Can you imagine having so much light emanating from you that if someone were to look at you, if someone were to describe you, they would say, you look like the sun. That's how much light. That's the force. That's the power of the light that is coming from your body. We have a lot of people right now thrilled that we're going to have some darkness. God kind of flips the script on it a little bit and says, hey, look, I want to tell you about the light. And it's not just going to be light in heaven. That light is going to be you. You are going to shine like the sun for eternity. Our frail minds struggle to understand how that can be. That is an incredible change when it comes to the human body. But this is what God tells his people they should be expecting, because this is what he's promised. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42, going back to that particular chapter, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Paul, as he talks about the human body, he says, it is sown in corruption, but a day is going to come when it will be raised in incorruption. As you look at that word, which is translated corruption, that means subject to decay. That means the withdrawal of life. That's what Jesus experienced when he was on the cross. As we live out our lives on this earth, we gradually decay. That's what Paul affirmed in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. But Paul said, in contrast to that, even though our life is ebbing out of our body little by little every single day, regardless of our age, he says the time is coming when we will experience incorruption. That means that we will have a body which will never be subject to any type of fatigue, any type of sickness, and certainly not death. No one who is in heaven will ever need another pill. They will never need another shot. They will never need to go into surgery. And heaven has no hospitals. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, Paul used the word redemption. Let's take a look at it. And not only so, but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, we groan within ourselves because of the current frail body. Paul says we're waiting for something. We're looking for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. As you look at that word, which is translated redemption, you could translate it deliverance. Paul says a day is coming where if we are a child of God, our body is going to be delivered from the things that we must experience right now. And that deliverance will be to a state which is eternal and a state which is glorious. Right now, the best bodies on the earth are all subject to decay. If we took the most stunning, the most beautiful woman who will ever live on the planet, and we paired her with the most handsome man, and the two were in perfect shape, perfect health, and they were at the ideal age, compared to the promises that we're looking at, we would say that that couple, which the world would hold up as the epitome of strength and wonder, we would say they're pathetic. As we look at our world, we know that the human body has some forms. People spend a lot of money when it comes to the human body. There are people who don't want to show wrinkles, or they want to reduce the number of wrinkles, so they spend money on that. There are people who spend a lot of money on skincare. They want their skin to look more youthful. People spend probably millions and millions of dollars. Money and time would be spent on toning a body. People want to lose some weight. They want to look fitter, trimmer, make their abs look nice. There are people who go and they try to change the color of the skin, the tone of it. And yet, in the end, no matter what people do, no matter how much money they have, no matter what doctors they seek out, in the end, every single time, the result is always the same. And it's failure. It always results in the same end. Oh, sure, we might be able to make some part of our body look a little different, maybe look a little better for a period of time. Maybe we can be healthier for longer than we might otherwise be. And maybe we can be stronger than we might otherwise be if we do some things. But in the end, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that our body is corruptible. And we've seen that since the creation of the world. Adam and Eve, their bodies were corruptible. And that's true for each one of us as well. We might not be struck by some terrible, awful disease like cancer that will take our life. We might live a long, natural life, which is relatively free from health issues. But the corruption will eventually get us. Some additional descriptions for what Paul's talking about can be found in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 43. He says, it is sown in dishonor, that is the current state of our current state or form. He says, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. That word which is translated dishonor means disgrace or shame. The word which is translated sown is a way of describing the time of our death. When the body of Jesus was put in the tomb, it was a body of humiliation. It had been beaten on. Jesus had been spit on. The sword had pierced his side. But in spite of all the bad things that happened to the Lord, the tomb is not the end of the story. Jesus was raised up. The Bible says that Jesus is the first fruits. That is, he's the guarantee. If God was able to raise his body, if God was able to give him a glorious body, then that is proof that we will have that same experience at the right time. Jesus will return to judge the world. He's coming back for the saved and the lost. He will raise all the people who have died. He'll gather those who are living. And for the saved, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 43 says that their body will not just be raised. But when Jesus comes, if you're a Christian, your body will be raised in glory. Have you ever been sick? And I mean really sick. Some people had that with COVID. You were so sick, just rolling over in bed, getting from your tummy to your back, it was almost impossible. Maybe you could barely roll out of bed. As you think about that kind of illness, just getting out of bed is a challenge, and the recovery from that type of sickness is gradual. Maybe we needed several days to resume our normal activities. Imagine, though, someone who is seriously ill. They can barely move in bed. And yet something happens, and instantly they're able to jump up and do things that they have never been able to do before. That would be a miracle. When Jesus returns, the Bible says that our bodies will be raised up, and they will not only be glorious bodies, but they will be bodies which have power. You see, when Christ returns, we're not going to need a year or two to make the transformation that we're talking about. God's not going to tell his people your new body is going to come in a week or a month. The changed body will be just like that, as soon as we see the Lord. This verse also says that the new body, will be raised in power. Now, we're not given a detailed explanation as far as what that means. But there are some things, as you look at other parts of the Bible, that would be perhaps tied in with that. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that the stomach is not going to be something that we have in eternity. Right now, for us to continue to live, we need to fuel our bodies. But there will be no potlucks in heaven. We're not going to have the problem of weariness. The power would seem to tie in with that as well. We're never going to be asleep. We're never going to need rest or sleep if we're in heaven. We'll have the power to never again be hurt. And that power may also somehow involve speed. If we are a young Christian, perhaps in the peak of health, and we think, hey, I've got many years ahead and life is looking good right now, the promise of a new body should still interest us, and it should encourage us. If we're someone who is an older Christian with many miles in our body, maybe some health issues that are significant, God's promise of a new and glorious body should thrill us. Heaven's not going to be a place where people find wheelchairs and crutches. The physical restrictions that we see in this life, they're all going to be gone. We'll never again have to worry about broken bones, strained muscles, stretched tendons. No one's going to have a problem with arteries or veins or nerves and blood. No. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 15, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Whatever the changes are, it will not be the kind of fleshly body that we have now, the one with all the limitations. A lot of sermons today are being preached on the resurrection of Christ. Either want us to think about our future resurrection. Yes, Jesus did come back from the dead, thankfully. But he's simply the first fruits. He came back to show that one day that will happen to us. Assuming that we die before Jesus returns. The question for us is, when we're raised up, and we will be, that's God's guarantee, will we have the kind of body that we looked at this morning? So often in life, people like upgrades. If they rent a vehicle and they get an upgraded vehicle, they're excited about that. They're enthused about that. If they check into a hotel and the desk clerk says, we have an upgrade for you, we never expected that. If they're flying on a plane and they're upgraded to first class, that's good news. Thank you so much. Or maybe something that's associated with the ship. God says to the world, I have an upgrade for you. And it's an upgrade that you can't imagine. It's an upgrade which is glorious, and it's an upgrade which will last for eternity. That then puts the question on us. Do we want that upgrade? Do we want to have that glorious and eternal body forever? We can. The promise is literally available to every single person, every single one of us. And it's accessed by each one in the same way. We can't have that great and glorious body unless we're willing to believe in Christ. We might believe in all kinds of things, but if we're not willing to believe in Jesus Christ, that body, that promise, will not be ours. Well, someone says, I believe Jesus came back from the dead, and I believe that he's coming back. Good for you. That's a beginning point. But with that belief, there has to be a turning from sin. The Bible refers that to repentance. Jesus said, if you're not willing to repent, heaven's not going to be your home. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Someone says, well, my life isn't going to be perfect. It doesn't have to be. If you're willing to repent, that gets you further down the road, but you're still not home. If you're willing to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, that he came back from that tomb, that he returned to heaven, and that he's coming back, there's only one thing that then stands between you and accessing the promise of that glorious body. And that is baptism into Christ, water baptism, Galatians 3 and verse 27, for the forgiveness of every single sin, Acts 22 and verse 16. And the Bible says, if you're willing to do that, you will rise to walk in the newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. And part of that new life is having the prospect, the promise of the glorious body in Philippians 3 and verse 21. Simply remain faithful to God. Do you want that body? If you do, and you're on the wrong road, today you can get on the right path and have access to that promise for eternity if you'll simply obey God. It is literally that easy. And if you need to do that, we'd like to help you do that right now as we stand and sing.